Robinhood Radio presents Your Health with osteopathic physician Dr. Kim Tripp, a show presented monthly on Robinhood Radio, discussing the challenges faced and the solutions that are available for keeping vital health and well-being throughout our lives. And now, here's Dr. Tripp.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Your Health with Dr. Kim Tripp, osteopathic physician. This is the health show created to bring you information and discussion of all kinds of health issues from the unique perspective of traditional osteopathic medicine. So first, what I always like to do for new listeners is clarify what that word osteopathic medicine means. Osteopathic medicine is practiced by fully licensed physicians in the United States with a DO degree, a Doctor of Osteopathic Medicine degree. Our practice is based on the essential relationship in all living things between structure and function. In other words, the natural interdependence between anatomy and physiology, or between the physics of the body and its chemistry. As osteopathic physicians, we use our comprehensive and precisely detailed knowledge of anatomy and physiology to promote health and healing in our patients. We work gently with our hands to help your body restore optimal function based on optimal structure. Our medical specialty is therefore called osteopathic manual medicine. We receive uniquely in-depth training in anatomy and physiology and their relationship within your body in the context of a full physician's medical training. Only U.S.-trained osteopaths are fully licensed physicians and have all of the current medical pharmacopoeia, nutritional science, and full medical training at our disposal. This means that your individual treatment may include a wide range of approaches, but it will always be founded on our gentle hands-on work. We practice from the unique perspective of first looking for the health in our patients, rather than merely finding illness and disease. Our practice has been especially effective for, but is not limited to, musculoskeletal and other structural issues, as well as problems like chronic headache, gastrointestinal problems, post-concussion syndrome, sleep disturbance, allergies, and many other problems. We work together with you, the patient, to help you build health and vitality in your body, mind, and spirit as the solution for your health problems, rather than only treating the disease symptoms. So in the radio show, we tackle health issues from this point of view. What can we do to help you build your health and vitality in order to prevent and heal injuries and disease? And we do that by giving you some basic information about the problem to help you understand what's happening, as well as offer solutions and guidance for helping yourself to heal and stay healthy based on our clinical experience with patients in our practice. Before we get started on today's topic, I want to remind you, as I always do, that you can listen to all of our prior Your Health shows online at your convenience, such as the shows on back pain, nutrition, carpal tunnel, concussion, and the prior shows in the gastrointestinal health series, by going to Robinhood Radio's website, then the on-demand section, then scroll down and select the Your Health shows, and you can click on the individual show by topic and listen to it at your own convenience. It's really great technology. Well, today we are going to continue our exploration of the gastrointestinal system and its common problems. In the past shows on this complex multi-organ system, we reviewed the basic anatomy, physiology, and functional roles of all the organs and other systems involved with normal digestion, as well as giving an overview of the fascinating gut microflora, the friendly bacteria that live in our guts and help with so many aspects of our health. We also started our exploration of common GI problems with a generalized list of what problems can come up throughout the system, and had a more detailed discussion of hiatal hernia and gastroesophageal reflux disease. You will likely want to listen to the earlier shows to have all that material in mind before moving on to the problems discussed today. I do want to review the basic symptoms of GI problems again today. The first sign of problems in the digestive tract can include one or more of the following symptoms: belly pain, swallowing problems, heartburn, otherwise known as acid reflux, nausea and or vomiting, bloating, constipation, diarrhea, red blood in the stool from bleeding in the colon or rectum, black tarry stools, which are indicative of bleeding in the upper GI system, as in the stomach, incontinence of the bowel and or unintended weight gain or loss. These symptoms can each be associated with one or more of the many potential GI problems, from minor to life-threatening, which is why it is so very important to have any new gut symptoms evaluated right away by a physician, and in some cases by a physician who is also a gastrointestinal specialist, called a gastroenterologist. Today, let's tackle another common stomach-related issue, peptic ulcers. We'll begin by defining just what a peptic ulcer is. The word ulcer means an open sore. Peptic means that the ulcer is due to acid erosion. Most of the time, when a doctor is referring to an ulcer, they mean a peptic ulcer. The two most common types of peptic ulcer are called gastric ulcers and duodenal ulcers, referring to where they occur. Gastric ulcers are found in the stomach. Duodenal ulcers are found at the beginning of the small intestine, called the duodenum. A person may have both gastric and duodenal ulcers at the same time. What happens is that the normal acid-resistant lining of the stomach becomes thinned and compromised so that the normal, highly acidic digestive juices begin to actually erode the cells in the compromised stomach lining, and the tissue breaks down and starts bleeding. So how do we know if we have an ulcer? What are the symptoms? Many people with ulcers have no symptoms at all. Some people with an ulcer will have belly pain. This pain is usually in the upper abdomen, often on the left side. Sometimes eating food makes the pain better, and sometimes it makes it worse. Other symptoms can include nausea, vomiting, or a feeling of being very bloated or very full, even after a very small meal. The most important symptoms that ulcers cause are related to bleeding. Bleeding from an ulcer can be very slow and go unnoticed, or can cause life-threatening hemorrhage. Ulcers that bleed slowly might not produce any symptoms until the person eventually becomes anemic from the bleeding, which means there is low hemoglobin in the blood and therefore reduced capacity for the blood to carry enough oxygen to all the cells. Symptoms of anemia include fatigue, shortness of breath with exercise, and pale skin color. Bleeding that occurs more rapidly might show up as something called melena, meaning stools that look black, tarry, and sticky, or, less usually, rapid bleeding may show up as a large amount of dark red or maroon blood in the stool. People with bleeding ulcers may also vomit. This vomit may be red blood, or it may look dark and granular like coffee grounds, depending on if the blood has been partially digested or not. Other symptoms might include fainting or feeling lightheaded. Signs of rapid GI bleeding mean a medical emergency, and anyone experiencing rapid GI bleeding should dial 911 or go to the nearest emergency room. So what causes these ulcers? Peptic ulcers have been attributed to chronic stress, smoking, bacterial infection with Helicobacter pylori, and/or regular use of aspirin or non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, otherwise known as NSAIDs, and oral steroids. However, there seems to be wide variability in individual susceptibility to peptic ulcers in response to these factors. Not everyone who smokes or houses Helicobacter pylori or experiences chronic stress develops peptic ulcers. The two most important causes of ulcers are infection with Helicobacter pylori and use of the medications known as NSAIDs, those non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, such as ibuprofen. Helicobacter pylori, which is also called H. pylori or HP, is a bacterium that lives in the stomach of infected people. The understanding that H. pylori can cause ulcers was one of the most important medical discoveries of the late 20th century. Dr. Barry Marshall and Dr. J. Robin Warren were awarded the 2005 Nobel Prize in Medicine for this very discovery. People infected with H. pylori are at increased risk of developing peptic ulcers. When a person is diagnosed with an ulcer, testing for H. pylori is often done. There are a number of tests to diagnose H. pylori, and the type of test used depends on the situation. People with ulcers who are infected with H. pylori should have their infection treated. Treatment usually consists of taking either three or four drugs. The drug therapy will use acid suppression therapy with a proton pump inhibitor drug, also called a PPI, along with antibiotic therapy and perhaps a bismuth-containing agent such as Pepto-Bismol. H. pylori can be very difficult to cure, so it's important that people being treated for this infection take their entire course of antibiotics as prescribed. NSAIDs, the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, are a group of medications typically used to treat pain. There are many drugs in this group. A few of these include aspirin, ibuprofen, as in Motrin and Advil, naproxen, as in Aleve and Naprosyn, ketorolac, as in Toradol, and oxaprozin, as in Dapro. NSAIDs work largely by blocking production of prostaglandins in the body. Prostaglandins are a family of chemicals that are produced by the cells of the body with multiple important functions. Prostaglandins promote inflammation that is necessary for healing, but also can result in pain and fever. They support the blood clotting function of platelets and protect the lining of the stomach from the damaging effects of the digestive acids. Hence the deleterious effects of long-term chronic use of NSAIDs on the stomach. Note that acetaminophen, aka Tylenol, is not an NSAID, although it too has its own risks and side effects with chronic use. NSAIDs use and overuse in the U.S. is extremely common, and therefore NSAIDs are a very common cause of peptic ulcers. NSAIDs cause ulcers by interrupting the natural ability of the stomach and the duodenum to protect themselves from stomach acid by blocking the prostaglandin production. NSAIDs also can interfere with blood clotting, which has obvious importance when ulcers bleed. People who take NSAIDs for a long time and or at high doses have a significantly higher risk of developing peptic ulcers. So how do we figure out if there are peptic ulcers present? How do we make the diagnosis? The most typical way for ulcers to be diagnosed is by upper endoscopy with a procedure that's also called an EGD, an esophagogastroduodenoscopy. An EGD, also called upper endoscopy, is performed by inserting a special lighted camera on a flexible tube down the person's mouth into the esophagus and stomach through to the beginning of the small bowel at the duodenum. Ulcers identified during an EGD may be photographed, biopsied, and even treated if bleeding is present. Another way ulcers can be found is with an X-ray test called an upper GI series. An upper GI series involves drinking a white chalky substance called barium contrast and then taking a number of X-rays to look at the lining of the stomach. Radiologists can see the ulcers on the X-rays when they have the barium in them. So how do we treat peptic ulcers? The way the peptic ulcers are treated depends on the cause and the severity. Most ulcers can be treated and will heal. If the cause is H. pylori, antibiotic treatment with 2 to 3 antibiotics is generally required. If the cause is NSAID use, NSAIDs should be stopped. Patients with ulcers caused by NSAIDs should talk to their doctor about other approaches that can be used to treat pain. Some ulcers can heal on their own with conservative treatment, meaning the treatment will not require pharmaceuticals, but will rely on elimination of NSAID use, stress reduction, and smoking cessation, combined with a non-inflammatory, non-caustic, supportive diet, regular exercise, and possibly other lifestyle changes. Osteopathic treatment by an osteopathic manual medicine specialist can contribute to ulcer healing and prevention because the hands-on treatment can improve any chronic restrictions in the vascular and lymphatic circulation that therefore speeds healing and renewal of the stomach lining, as well as helping to restore appropriate autonomic nervous system balance that helps us manage stress. More severe peptic ulcers will also be treated with a proton pump inhibitor, that PPI drug. PPIs are powerful acid-blocking drugs that can be taken as a pill or given intravenously. Often, the potent IV form is used if a patient is hospitalized with a bleeding ulcer. The PPIs include omeprazole, which is Prilosec or Zegerid, lansoprazole, which is Prevacid, pantoprazole, which is Protonix, rabeprazole, which is Acifex, esomeprazole, which is Nexium, and dexlansoprazole, which is Dexilant. There are actually very few medical differences between all these PPI drugs, but there are potentially severe and dangerous side effects with prolonged use of any of these drugs, including new concerns about dementia, cardiovascular issues, kidney damage, and chronic infection. So the PPIs should be used with caution and for the minimum period of time required. Sometimes ulcers will be treated with H2 blockers. H2 blockers are another type of acid-reducing medication. Commonly used H2 blockers include ranitidine, which is Zantac, cimetidine, which is Tagamet, famotidine, which is Pepcid, and nizatidine, which is Axid. When someone has an ulcer that has bled significantly, treatment might be done at the time of the EGD. There are a number of techniques that can be performed during an EGD to control bleeding from an ulcer. The gastroenterologist might inject medications, use a catheter to cauterize the ulcer, burning a bleeding vessel shut, or place a small clip to clamp off a bleeding vessel. Not all ulcers need to be treated this way. The doctor doing the EGD will decide if treatment is indicated based on the way the ulcer looks. The doctor will usually treat an ulcer that is actually bleeding when it is seen and will also often treat other ulcers if they have a certain appearance. People with gastric ulcers only in the stomach may have another EGD several weeks after treatment to make sure the ulcer is gone. This is because a very, very small number of gastric ulcers might contain cancer cells. Duodenal ulcers at the beginning of the small intestine usually don't need to be looked at again. Which leads me to the close of today's show here with a reminder that a good osteopathic physician who is a specialist in osteopathic manual medicine can be especially helpful for gastrointestinal issues of all kinds. Working gently with our hands with the involved organs, nerves, vasculature, fascias, capsules, and associated tissues to release restrictions in the physical tissues of the gut organs, the diaphragm, and blood and lymphatic flow, as well as to help with nutritional issues and support for whatever procedures you may be going through. Recall that all of the gastrointestinal tract is a complex physical entity with connections between all the parts that need to be open, flexible, and moving freely with excellent neural conduction from the cranial nerves, optimal arterial and venous blood flow, and lymphatic drainage to remain healthy, vital, and functioning normally. I'm running out of time again. Thank you so much for your attention to Your Health with Dr. Kim Tripp. Remember, you can email your comments and suggestions for topics to yourhealth@robinhoodradio.com. If you have a health issue yourself and would like to find out about how we might be able to help you in our practice of traditional osteopathy, we are at our offices in Sharon, Connecticut, Dr. Kim Tripp and Dr. Andrew Goldman, Goldman Tripp, Osteopathic Healthcare, 860-364 5990, Monday to Friday, 8:45 a.m. to 5 p.m. with evening hours Wednesdays and Fridays, or on the web at www.goldmantripp.net. I'll be looking forward to being with you next time, every other Friday at 12:30 and Sunday evenings at 5:30. Take care of yourself, enjoy your health, and thanks for listening.